I just want to go to Stephen Barrett, who is a barrister and writer. This is about the EU laws U-turn, because Kemi Badenoch was in hot water this week because of a lot of what she was saying and doing in regard to these EU laws. Lots of backbenchers, people like Marc Francois, who's the chairman of the European Research Group, very annoyed with her, because there was this idea that there would be the bonfire of the EU regulations. That's something Boris Johnson said would happen, Liz Truss said it would happen, Rishi Sunak said it would happen. Some of them are being got rid of, but not all of them, and there are a lot of them will remain on the statute books. Kemi Badenoch, lots of controversy this week, including being slapped down by the Speaker, Lindsay Hoyle. Maybe we can just have a quick look at this clip of Kemi Badenoch in the House of Commons this week in regard to...
I'm very sorry that the sequencing that we chose was not to your satisfaction. I was...
Order. That is totally not acceptable. No. Who do you think you're speaking to, Secretary of State? I think we need to understand each other. I am the defender of this House and these benches on both sides. I am not going to be spoken to by a Secretary of State who is absolutely not accepting my ruling. Take it with good grace and accept it, that members should hear it first, not a WMS or what you decide. These members have been elected by their constituents and they have the right to hear it first. And it is time this government recognised we're all elected, we're all members of Parliament, and use the correct manners. Secretary of State.
So that was Kemi Badenoch being certainly slapped down by the Speaker, Lindsay Hoyle, in that regard. But the big issue itself is about the repeal of this legislation. Now, Stephen Barrett is with us. He's a barrister and writer. And Stephen, you're at this big conference today as well. I think you're at the conference where Priti Patel has been talking, other people have been talking, lots of supporters of Boris Johnson saying that maybe he should come back. Let's talk about that in a second. But first of all, with your sort of barrister hat on, Stephen, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what has happened, what was meant to happen, and why people are annoyed about it.
Yes, well, just to inform your viewers, 6 years ago, a very respectable legal publisher identified that since 1990, the EU has introduced 52,741 laws into the United Kingdom. Now, that's not necessarily controversial. It's, you know, we were a member, that's what we were doing. But they were involved in a process of massive legal change, which it's difficult to think of an area that they weren't changing and affecting. And that they're doing that as policy. So they're making policy decisions, yep, and then they're enacted as laws. What was proposed with the Retained EU Law Bill was to go after the low-hanging fruit. Go after what the civil service initially said were 2,500 odd laws, and then they found a few more, which is not obviously reassuring about the civil service, but they found a few more and they took the number up to 4,000. So that's 4,000 out of 52,000. And then these are the relatively easy laws. These are secondary pieces of legislation. They're not primary pieces of legislation. And the task that needed to be done was to go through them and to just go, keep, get rid of, change slightly.
Yeah.
Keep, get rid of, change slightly. And I went out in the media a few months ago and said, look, I could do this in a year. Mm-hmm. And I stand by that. This is not a difficult
some of them,
or challenging task.
Interesting. We'll get to the bit about the ones we should get rid of in a minute. But some of them do make sense, don't they? Even though they come from Europe, even though we voted for Brexit, there are some laws that you, even you would argue as a Eurosceptic, are actually okay.
Well, I'm not a Eurosceptic.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were. Apologies.
I'm a lawyer, but it's helpful because it's these two concepts. Law, and your viewers need to focus on one. One is law, and the other one is policy decisions.
Yeah.
So thinking about things we might want to keep is probably a policy decision. But let's go for a pretty uncontroversial one, like maternity
sure.
periods and paternity periods. You brought it, now, this is a policy statement, so I shouldn't really be making it as a lawyer, but here we are. You're probably going to want to keep it.
Yes, I don't think too many people would argue that people shouldn't get maternity and paternity leave.
Exactly, and a similar policy decision might be that one of these laws that was written to do something 3 years ago, which is now timed out and isn't relevant, well, you're probably going to want to get rid of that. And the problem with this exercise, or what has happened in this exercise, is that ministers are being told that it's impossible when actually it's not tricky. So that I'm afraid is on the civil service. They mm-hmm. they do have to carry the can there of people sort of questioning, well, not entirely sure why you think you can't do this relatively straightforward task. But then in defence of the civil service, what seems to all simultaneously be happening is that there is an absence of this policy direction. Mm-hmm, you know, because what I think...
Yeah, because Cammy Beardnock was very quick to blame the civil service, to blame the blob itself. I mean, I'm not sure she was entirely right to do so.
Yeah, well, she blamed the detail. She said, I've gone into the detail and, oh, this is really tricky. And that's simply not true as law. As a legal task, this is not tricky. What the civil service need, though, would be strong policy directions from minister. So the civil servant doing this would need to turn to the minister and going, do you want to keep maternity?
And, that's their job. That's minister's job. They're elected. That's give them the direction. Absolutely.
Well, exactly. And you understand that, and I understand that, because we understand the old constitution, our UK constitution. EU membership really skewed that. Policy decisions were being made in Europe. The role of UK ministers was then simply to implement those policy decisions. They were basically salespeople. They sold the pre-made policy decisions to the UK public as though they'd invented them. So they're used to taking instructions from elsewhere. That instruction, if you like, a bit like sort of, if you know, and I don't mean to lower the tone, but a bit like sort of the Borg in Star Trek.
Right.
If you cut off the mother signal, they're sort of all a bit hopeless. And what seems to be happening at the moment is that the ministers are now turning to our civil service and saying, well, you tell me what the policy decision is. Now, if our civil service that are working, and I'm sure there are, and one of the problems with the fact that bits of it aren't is that sort of all of it gets thrown under a bus, and that's
agreed.
Not the really decent civil servants who do exist.
Agreed.
The decent civil servants will be saying, no, minister, this is your decision. Do you want maternity leave kept or not? That's a policy decision. Minister, do you want to do something about the mortgage the mortgage market and how we regulate it?
Yeah.
Minister, because the EU have meddled, and I had to deal with it on a piece for a client this week, they have really messed up at law our consumer credit regime. Minister, do you want to fix the UK consumer credit regime? Mm. That's a question for you, Minister. It's not a question for me. And it seems two things are happening. One, bits of the civil service, the bad bits, are saying that this is complicated when it's not complicated. And two, the ministers are asking the civil servants for policy directions or seem to simply lack it themselves.
Yeah.
And it really, our constitution will only function when the civil service do their task well and meticulously, as I'm sure they would be capable of doing, and the ministers are giving clear policy directions on what they actually want to do.
I agree with every word you've said, Stephen. Thank you very, very much. Stephen Barrett there, he's a barrister and writer, talking us through that.